You got your Bibles. I'm going to start. We'll read one verse because this is going to be sort of a hard lesson tonight. Because I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about your needs and your wants. And do you know the difference between them? We've got what we need to realize what we have to have, and that is in God's Word. We have a complete copy of God's Word. I have the Word, not a word. And so I'm thankful to the Lord tonight that I have got my Bible with me. You know, me and Brother Mike, we was sitting back in the back. We was talking and stuff, talking about, I told him it'd come a pretty rain over there where I was working today, and I was thankful to the good Lord to see it. He was talking about how fast things can get dry, and it can. There's not a thing in this world that we live in that the Lord doesn't have His hands on. And we need to be conscious of that, and we need to be prayerful and trusting in the Lord. Now, talking about your needs and your wants, that could get on somebody's toes in a hurry. Because somebody could stand up and say, well, what are you doing? Are you teaching against us having anything at all, anything that we want? Let me read you some scripture, first of all, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17. And I'm going to flip over to Psalm 68:19. And I want to read you some scriptures here. Listen to what God's Word said. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So now we listen to what God's Word said. He said, every good gift and every perfect gift. Now, do you know that something good and something perfect is not going to hurt you? That's not going to hurt you. But you can get to wanting some things in your life, in this whole world, that can hurt you. And I want to take a look at tonight at a few of those things and stuff. I want to look now in the book of Psalm 68:19. And it said, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, blessed be the Lord. And what does He do? He loads us daily with His benefits. Every day, the Lord benefits us in this old world. Every day. But we are like children. And sometimes we want things that's not necessarily the best thing for us to have. So, let's read some scriptures now dealing with these kind of things right here. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 10. I'm going to be skipping around because what I like to do, if the good Lord blesses me to stand before you, because I'm going to tell you something, I can't teach. And I'll tell you that right now. I can't teach. If the Lord don't intervene, if the Lord don't teach, then nothing's going to happen. Nothing gets done. But here in the Bible of John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 10, Jesus speaking, He said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, we listen to what Jesus said right here. He said, I am come that you might have life. Now, what kind of life do you have once you've been saved by Jesus? You have eternal life. You've got eternal life. Something that we shouldn't worry about what tomorrow brings. I mean, I know things come along in our lives that trouble us. Just like Brother Conrad was teaching last night, we have troubles, trials, tribulations, those things come along with them, and they trouble us. But the Lord tells us that we're going to have troubles and tribulations in this old world. He made a statement. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But he said, what? He said, be of good cheer. See, we want to leave things out so many times and stuff. We don't want to go all the way to the end of the verse. We want to skip over some things. And what happens on that, the devil wants to sort of plug some things in there and stuff. He'll take you across so far, but he won't let you go all the way to the end if you don't watch him in the way that he does. And Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, you've got eternal life, but he wants you to have abundant life too. Now, that's not tying up in sin. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, he wants you to have abundant life. There's a place in the scriptures, I can't remember just exactly where it is, I think it's in Matthew, but it says, how many of you, being a father, will have a child, and that child will ask you for an egg, and will you give him a serpent? And, you know, it's talking about if you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to them that ask? So, we've got a Heavenly Father, just like we've got an earthly Father, that is there for our good, and He wants us to have. But we got to know the difference between what's good for us and what's not good for us. We've got to look at those things. Jesus said right there, He said, I want you to have abundant life. I want you to have abundant. Let's go to the book of Matthew in chapter 6 now. Beginning with verse 19. Now we're going to look at some scriptures right here. We're going to get a little bit of a formula. See, the Bible has got a lot of formulas in it. A lot of formulas, because you'll see a lot of these verses, they say, if, but, although, all these things that tie these verses together and stuff. So let's look at this now. In Matthew 6, beginning with verse 19, Jesus speaking again, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now listen to what he said. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now there's nothing wrong. Don't misunderstand me. Now this is the reason I said a while ago. You can take this, what I'm trying to teach tonight, you can take this wrong. But I'm not saying that the Lord is limiting you to what you can have. It depends on you and how you use what the Lord blesses you with. It said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And he said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now listen, said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So now where is your heart tonight? Is your heart bogged down in the things of this old world? Or is your heart laying up treasures in heaven? Because we're not going to be staying here. We're not going to be staying here. But the Lord blesses us richly. Say, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now the Lord is talking here now. He's starting to talk about needs. Listen to what he said. He said, Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than raiment, and more than meat, and the body than raiment? These are things that we need. We need food. We need shelter. We need clothing. We need drink. He said, behold the fowls of the air. See, this is another thing where the Lord wants you to look around you to see what's going on. He wants you to see what's going on in the world around you. He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now we're going back and stuff. You know what the scripture says. You know, the Lord loadeth us daily with benefits. Now, I don't know nobody here would want to hop up and say, I'm starving to death. Now, there's a few poor folks in here, but most of us is holding our own. We are holding our own on that, people. Say, which of you, now listen to the scripture, listen to the scripture. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? This is what the Bible says right there. It said, just by you taking thought or worrying or being anxious about tomorrow, which one of you can add any bit to your height or anything else about you? Which one of you? He was asking a question. I would have had to start standing at the back of the crowd if I'd been around Jesus and stuff, because I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'd get myself embarrassed. Because, good Lord, He had a way and still does have a way of bringing things out and stuff to us. It sort of makes us feel ashamed of ourselves sometimes. I'm going to be honest with you. It does me. Now, I can't speak for you, but it does me. I mean, the older I have got in my life, just to be honest with you, the dumber I know that I am. And I just, you know, I don't know that that's the best English and stuff, you know, but I'm just telling you, flat out truth, the older I get, the dumber I get and stuff. When I thought I knew it all, like I told you one time, when Daddy said what he did about me, you might ask him something, but you ain't going to tell him nothing because he already knows it all. Thought about that over these years and realized that, son, you don't know nothing. You never have. You never have. Said, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you, ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now we're talking about needs here now, just straight up and down needs. He said, your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now, if He takes care of the grass of the field, if He takes care of the fowls of the air, where are we going to fit into that picture with? We're His children. We're His children. Where are we going to fit into the picture? Now then, we're getting right here. Said, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And now here comes the formula right here. I said there was a formula in this passage of Scripture, and you listen to what the Bible says. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That sounds like a pretty big promise right there to me. Pretty well tells me that said, listen, you're my child, and I'm going to take care of you. You're hungry, I'm going to feed you. You need clothing, I'm going to clothe you. You need something to drink, I'm going to give you a drink. Now, that's what the Lord said. Now, how are we going to accept that? Are we going to put our faith in the Lord? Or are we going to question that? Goes back to what he said earlier in the scripture stuff. Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? What you going to do? Now let's look over in the book of James, chapter 4. Now, we've been talking about our needs. We're going to talk a little bit about our wants now. James chapter 4, verse 1 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" Now, this is written to the church. It's written to the Christian. He said, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members?" Now, we're talking about wanting things. You know, I guess the best way I can tell this is what when Jesus said a while ago. He said, you know, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you." I think that everything we do, whatever it may be, whether it be buying a vehicle, whether it be buying a house, whatever we need to do, we need to talk to the Lord. We need to pray to the Lord and seek the Lord. I don't care how simple it is, if it's changing jobs. The Lord wants to be a part of our lives. And if we honor the Lord, I believe that the Lord will take care of us. I believe that with all my heart. I wouldn't waste my time talking. I'm just telling you. The Bible says, "Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill, desire to have, cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. Ye have not because ye ask not." Listen to what the Bible says right there. It says, "You have not because you ask not." But now let me tell you something about this before we go any further. The Lord's not a wishing well. Just as surely as we wouldn't give. Now, these little old children that's gone downstairs and stuff, I don't believe there's nobody in here would give one of those children something that would be harmful to them. I'd hate to even think about that. The Lord is not going to give something to His children that's going to be harmful to them. And there is a difference for us to know the difference between what we want and what we need. And putting that in the Lord's hands and trusting Him. The Lord is not a wishing well, because right here He says, "You have not because you ask not." And then what does He say? "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." And that's the very lust that's in this old flesh, your fleshly desires. He's telling you, he said, listen, you're not getting because you're not asking. And when you do ask, you're asking wrongfully. You're asking wrongfully because God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of us. He said, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world," now listen, "is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." I think that's pretty plain, but let's look in the book of 1 John, chapter 4. Now these are the things of the world, and listen to what the Bible says. Chapter 2. I said 4, chapter 2. Beginning with verse 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, I'm talking about wanting things that you don't necessarily need, wanting things of the world. I'm not talking about just wanting. I'm talking about wanting something that's not going to be good for you. It's not going to help you in your Christian walk and in your Christian life. He said, If any, now, and this is God's word. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that's pretty plain, pretty simple. I don't know how else you're going to find that. He said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and what? And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, it's pretty simple what the Bible is saying here. But I want you to be able to see that in life, and how that happens in life. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Begin with verse 1. Now this is in the garden with Adam and Eve. And this, I'm reading this in what I just read in the book of 1 John. He said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, Jesus, just a while ago, I read you some scripture. He said that what? He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So see what the scripture is saying here. This is Satan talking to Eve now. And he tells her, the Bible says he's a liar and the father of liars. And what did he say right here? He said, ye shall not surely die. Now I'm going to show you something about your wants here and how the devil likes to operate on those wants. Because those wants that we have so many times are lust in this old flesh. And this flesh and stuff gives us fits while we're passing through this old world. The serpent said unto woman, ye shall not surely die. Now that is his lie. He said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now there he's mixed the lie with the truth. He sure does make it sound good, don't it? That sounds real good. Sounds real, just like, you know, I can just step off into this. This ain't no trouble. I can just step off right on into this. Now, we read a while ago in the book of 1 John, it says, for all this in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And what happens here, listen, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so she was looking. That's your first step that Satan's going to take with you. He wants you to look at it. He said, now look at him, look at him, look at him. And you'll be just like an old mule with a set of blinders on. All you can see is just what's right there in front. What's right there in front? He said, the tree was good for food. And that it was pleasant, what? To the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And there we go with the sin in the garden. So you see what the scripture is saying. We go back to the book of James. He said, you in chapter 4, begin with verse 4, he said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So now where do you want to be at? You want to be a friend of the world, or you want to be a friend of God? I need God to be on my side because I can't make it without Him. I'm just telling you, I can't make it without Him. It doesn't make any difference what's going on, how big, how small, it doesn't make any difference. I need the Lord every day of my life. I need Him. I pray every day, the Lord help me. And you know, I'm going to tell you something about praying every day and stuff. Praying every day don't mean the day is going to be like a skip through the park. I mean, I'm just telling you. I was coming here tonight to teach. My wife don't know anything about it or anything. But I've got red all over my fingernails and everything else, and I don't go that way. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I don't paint my toenails neither. I'll take the shoes off and show you just fact of it. But I was shaking paint at the store today, and the paint shaker throwed the can out. And the paint was all over the floor, and it was a bright red. And the man looked at me and said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I looked at him, and I stepped outside of that back room, got him another quart of paint and a paint stick. I said, "Take this up the front, let them check you out. Your paint will be stirred, not shaken." I said, "Because if it throwed one out, it'll throw two." And I said, "And I've got a mess to clean up." So you pray every day and stuff. You know, it doesn't mean that today is going to go like a skip in the park. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have temptations. People, it's going to be there sitting and waiting on us, because the devil is going to do everything he can to destroy you. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from being a witness. Look, Conrad, you said last night and stuff that you throwed your Bible down for a while and stuff. You picked it up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Thank the Lord that you stayed in church, son, because I'm going to tell you something. You get outside of church, Brother Conrad, and it's a whole different world. It's just like Eve being right there in the garden where she was at that time and stuff. And the devil had her eyes fixed on that tree. That's all she could see was that tree. That's all the devil wants you to do, is see the outside of this church, get out, and don't come back. That's what he wants. What I'm talking about tonight and stuff, what I'm teaching tonight, is dealing with this old flesh and its wants. Because it wants, people. It wants. As old as I am, I still want. I still want. And I have to pray to God every day that goes by, "Lord, help me make it through this day. Through this day." He said, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, 'The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy'?" Listen to what the Bible says. The Scripture says that the Spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy, wanting more and more, more and more. But He, now listen, He said, "He giveth more grace." What the Bible say in the book of Romans? "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." God gave more grace because He knew that we needed it. You know that, Brother Mike. That's a fact right there. He give more grace because He knows us old sorry sinners, Brother Howard. We were going to need some help down here in this old world. We weren't going to make it on our own, son. We couldn't do it. We couldn't save ourselves, and we can't keep ourselves. He's going to have to do all of that and walk us on home. Walk us on home. Now, I'm on a homeward journey. Now, that's something we need to think about in our Christian lives every day. I'm on a homeward journey, and I'm ready to go home now, people. I'm being honest with you. I'm thankful for what the Lord blessed me with down here and stuff and all the things He's done for me. But I got a home that I haven't seen yet, and I'm ready to go home. The Bible says, so. Now listen, He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, "God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble." People, we better humble ourselves. We better humble ourselves before the hands of an Almighty God. Get ourselves down on our knees like old folks used to do. Old folks used to fill the church house up. And buddy boy, if they want a call to the altar given, they made one. They'd go to the altar because they had people they were praying for. They had needs in their lives. Now we're talking about needs and wants. They had needs in their lives. Their fields, if they didn't come in, they didn't have nothing to eat and stuff, you know. The Lord's going to take care of them. They went to the Lord. They prayed to the Lord, they pleaded with the Lord, and they thanked the Lord, which is something we're short on doing today and stuff. We're short on thanking the Lord and how good He is to us. God giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now there's another one of those things and stuff that tries to teach us what to do. It said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, the devil is not scared of you. And they ain't nothing in you that you're going to be able to overcome the devil with. Now, we're talking tonight and stuff, you know, about weaknesses in the flesh and things that we want as opposed to things that we need. And here the scripture and stuff, you know, is telling us that if we will submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you, not because of who you are, because he knows who God is. He knows who God is. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now listen. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's what God's word said. Not he could, not he might. But he said that he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now this is something free that got thrown in right here. It says, speak not evil one of another. See, now that we've been talking about, you know, friendship of the world and the things of the world and the wants of the world and doing what God would have us to do. And this just got thrown in, and so it's a good thing right there to jump on. He said, not to speak evil one another. I told you, I shared this with you. There used to be a dentist in Battle named Dr. Mars. Dr. Mars, I was a little boy when he was taking care of me, and he used to tell me this all the time. He said, Lee, and he was an old man, and he shook. That's reading all my teeth loose. But he was an old man, he'd shake, and he'd get up there in that chair, and he'd lean over, and he'd tell me, he said, Lee, if you can't find something good to say about somebody, he said, just be quiet. Now, he was telling me that stuff, you know, and I was listening to him because I'm going to tell you something. That's what kids used to do. They used to listen to people. They used to listen to those old people. Because those old people was telling them the truth. That's just a free thing. So there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. And listen to this. Who art thou that judgest another? Now, I think it's in the book of Romans that says, who art thou that thou would judge another man's servant? God is able to make him stand. Now that's something right there that you need to think about if you get ready to say something about somebody. Because the Bible says, who are you that you're going to judge another man's servant? Could this man be God's servant? And if he is God's servant, the Bible says, what? God is able to make him stand. So if God is able to make him stand, you better be careful about trying to knock him down. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we shall go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Now listen, now we're talking about getting gain here. We're going to see that in the scripture here just in just a short section. It said, but buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now that was one of my daddy's big sayings right there. He always said, somebody could say something to him, said, Grover, could you help me next week? And daddy would tell him, said, if the good Lord willing, I'll be there. Good Lord willing, I'll be there. And he ain't saying about no creek rising. Because creek ain't got nothing to do with it. Say what you want to. It's all in the Lord's hands, people. What's going to happen to us one way or the other, it is in His hand. My wife, I tell you, she bless her heart. She's good to me. She loves me. She tries to get me to go to the doctor. And I ain't the best in the world about going to the doctor because this is something else. You know, it's just with me. But I believe if you had 100 doctors standing around you and the Lord was ready to call you home, you going home. It don't make no difference how many are there. Now, she'll argue that point on the way home. But I've been at work, so I'm in a separate car. So, For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that, now listen to this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you can get in trouble doing things, and you can get in trouble not doing things. You most certainly can. If I have one of these spells, like on Wednesday night, I say, I'm just wore out. Well, what you going to do? Well, I ain't going tonight. Well, do you know what that says? If you know to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. If you know at the church is where you're supposed to be and you're not there, you don't do what you're supposed to, it's sin. Sure. I'm not going to point my finger at any of y'all because I've got too much pointing at me. I'm just telling you the way it is, the way God's Word says it. Let's look in 1 Timothy now. We're going to talk a little bit about the things of the world. And we'll be closing down. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5, and I'll read through 11, then we're going to skip a little bit. Verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You hear what the Bible says? Godliness with contentment. You know what that is? I'm satisfied. Lord sure is good to me. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So what are you saying, Brother Lee? He said, I shouldn't want a house. Oh, yeah, you're going to have a home. You're going to have a car. There's going to be things you're going to need. But do you know sometimes and stuff, we take in on our needs more than we can handle? And I don't believe it's God's intention for us to be in bondage in certain things too. We're all pretty much in certain points poor folks here. Some might have more than others and stuff, but what I'm saying and stuff, God has richly blessed each and every one of us. Each and every one. He said, now listen to what the Bible says, but they that we be rich. Now this is God's word, this ain't Lee. He said, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I want you to listen to that verse right there again and listen to what it says. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Had a salesman one time, used to come see my mama. He sold Electrolux. And people know my mama was a cleaning woman. Boy, if it would suck the fuzz out of a corner, my mama wanted it. If it would polish the floor, mama wanted it. So he had a good selling place. But like old people used to do, we was talking about the Bible one day, and Mr. Palmer said, well, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And he said, the problem is everybody's trying to get to the root. Yeah. Scratching to get to the root. The Bible says, which while some coveted after, speaking of money, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Listen to what the Scripture says. Now I'm going to skip over to verse 17. And then I want you to listen to what the Scripture says here. Now we was talking about a while ago about wanting, needing, having. Now, just because that you're a Christian don't mean you can't be rich. But you've got to watch yourself while you're in that position. Listen to what the Bible says. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Now listen, but in the living God, listen to what it says, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It said, be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Listen, you can be the wealthiest person in the world today and tomorrow it be gone. It be gone. Because let me tell you something. What the Lord blesses you with is His. It's the Lord's. It's not yours. It's something that He loaned you while you in this old low ground of sorrow below to make your road a little bit easier. I believe that with all my heart. He said, I'm going. Now listen. Now we can read in the Bible and we find all these prophets and all the things that they suffered. All the things that they went through. They were suffering because God had placed them in that place. But that does not mean that God is going to place you in a place of sorrow all the time. But He is going to bless you as you travel through this world and stuff. You know, you're going to be shocked. That there's been times, I'm going to be honest with you now. I'm going to pray. Now, you can laugh at me if you want to. I don't care a bit in the world. But I believe in the power of God and I believe what God can do. I believe that. I believe just as sure as He took that widow woman's cruse of oil and filled that thing up every time they needed it, He can do the same thing with us in this old world right now. There's been times when I've gone to pay bills and I didn't know how it was going to come out. And you know what? I would find some extra money in my billfold and I still can't tell you today where it come from. Now listen, you can laugh about that. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you a fact, just like it is, that the Lord has blessed me. I don't remember where I got it. I don't remember sticking it in there and stuff. I don't remember none of that. But the good Lord has blessed me to do what? He's fed me. He's clothed me. He's gave me to drink. He's gave me a place to live. I'm going to tell you something. I got no complaints about Him today, brothers and sisters in the Lord. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. He's been a lot better to me than I've been to Him. Because I'll tell you what I've been in my lifetime. I've been a failure. And I've been a sinner. And I've fallen flat on my face. And He's picked me up so many times and cleaned me off when I wasn't worthy to be picked up and cleaned off because of one reason. Because Jesus died for me on an old rugged cross. His Father gave His Son for me. He gave Him for you. For everybody under the sound of my voice in this whole world through. I still say it and I say it and you've heard me say it. I think about John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming. He said, behold, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, not just for those who'd be saved, but He said for the sins of the world. I got no complaints about Him. He said not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they may, now listen to this now, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Now listen, listen. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. You know what that means? Take some of them riches and sort of spread them around a little bit. That's what God's Word said, do. Spread them around a little bit. Take some of your riches and spread them. I'm talking about to help somebody. I'm not talking about to make personal gain. I'm talking about to help somebody. Listen, ain't a few things Brother Ken talked about and stuff. Spread that money around in your tithes and stuff, you know. I'm going to cover because the Lord, He's going to take care of you. The Lord's going to take care of you. I told my granddaughter, setting a budget up for her, I said, Kaylee, the first thing you need to do is learn to pay tithes. I said, the first thing, I said, I got a budget book at home that I go by every month. I fill it out every month and stuff. And the first line at the top of it on the budget says church. And that's what happens when I get paid. That comes out first. I appreciate your attention tonight.